Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone here. Good to be here with all of you. We are going to be considering 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. If you will read with me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Go to the Lord one more time in prayer to ask his blessing upon this message and upon hearts, and we will consider the passage. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you would go with me to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for a chance to worship. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive and well, that it is powerful, that it is able to transform us, that it is able to change us, that it is able to shape us and to mold us into the image of Christ. And I pray that you would send your spirit to do that this morning, that you would transform us through this text, you would make us to love Christ more, be excited about his word, about your word, bring all glory to you. Thank you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there are a whole lot of different views out there of how Christians are to live today, how people specifically of the Christian faith, what they are to do with their faith. What they are to do with it in politics, at work, just a whole variety of different views. Those who are more antagonistic towards the Christian faith will argue that it has absolutely no place anywhere besides, or it has no place anywhere, really. They'll even say that in your family it is detrimental. We were talking to Charles and Lindsay, and they shared that there's certain countries in Europe that your children will be taken away from you if you spank them. So they will say that it is even evil, and the Christian principles and teachings are so negative that they will destroy your family. And so they say it has no place in politics. It has no place at work. It has no place anywhere. There are others who are less antagonistic towards it and say that it is fine, the Christian faith is okay to have as long as you keep it to yourself, right? It is one of the many ways to be enlightened or one of the many ways to get to heaven. And so as long as you don't impose it on anyone else, you'd be all right. There's others who are even in the church that would argue that faith is left best for church. You come on Sunday, you worship, you go home, you do the little thing at home, and that's it. And then you go to work. And that's the worldly aspect of your life. This the Christian aspect of your life on Sunday, and then there's the worldly aspect of your life everywhere else. Well, we know that that is not what God requires of us. And so this morning, what we are going to consider is the question, what does God want from my life? What does God want from me? Most people here understand the answer to that and can accurately explain it, but we are going to look at what Peter says to the church in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and how he talks about the Christian as a priest and try to answer that question through that text. So let's read the entirety of the passage. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start in verse 4, we read down to verse 10. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we will not be able this morning to deal with every aspect of that passage. We are going to consider the priesthood, and then maybe at a different time consider the rest. But just to give a context and kind of a quick overview of the passage for this morning, Peter is speaking mostly to Gentiles who have dispersed and who are in little churches across Asia, and they have fled persecution, and here he is telling them how Christ is building his church, how Christ is the builder who is taking them as living stones and constructing this building of the church. We have different examples of what the church is, different metaphors that the Bible uses to explain to us what a church is. We have the bride of Christ. We have here we have the building of Christ. And so Christ is the builder who is building together as each individual member is a living stone that has different things that he can offer to the church. Christ is the builder. He himself is the cornerstone, and he is building this church. For what purpose? Well, verse 5 tells us the reason. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. God is building not just the building, he is also building and preparing the worshipers who are going to come and worship. A church exists to be a royal priesthood. What does that mean? I think in our day today, we tend to forget the weight that that title comes with, the office of priest, what comes with that title. And so what we're going to do as we answer this question is we're going to look at we're going to go back to the beginning, where the priests came from. And so the outline is very simple. It's 3 points. First is the Levitical priest. Next is Christ, the ultimate priest. And then finally, the Gentile sinner becomes a priest. So let us begin with the Levitical priest. In order for us to understand the context of what Peter is saying here, what he's calling us to be priests, we got to understand where it began. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. You remember from our Sunday school last week, we spoke on Exodus and God's providence, and we talked about how the first section of the book was the first 18 chapters, and that dealt with Israel's leaving Egypt. And the second section is the covenant that is given, that is ratified and established. And so here, in the beginning of this next section, in chapter 19, listen to verses 5 through 6. We're going to start a little bit early. I apologize. We're going to start with verse 3. While Moses went up to the mountain, the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." And listen carefully, verse 6. "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So you see here, God's intent in the beginning, when he called the people to himself, he was going to make for himself a kingdom and a nation of priests. We know that it didn't take long for Israel to fail in their calling, right? Just a few chapters later, as Moses goes up on the mountain, as he's receiving the law and the commandments, what do the people of Israel do? They make an idol for themselves. They make a golden calf, and they begin to worship it. So then God selects for himself a certain tribe in Israel that ordains them to the priesthood. If you go to Exodus with me, chapter 32, this is the ordination service, if you will, of the Levites into priesthood. We're going to read from verses 25 down to verse 29.
And when Moses saw, Moses comes down from the mountain and he sees the calf. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron let them break loose to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gap at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, "Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one of you at the cost of his son and his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day." This is the ordination service of the priests. They are standing covered head to toe in the blood of their brothers and fathers and neighbors and friends. They have become the priests, the ones that God is going to use to bless the nations. They have a radical obedience to God. They have their allegiances to God and to no one else. When I was about 3 or 4, my dad, this is one of my dad's favorite stories. He tells it all the time. He said that he had bought me different weapons to play with, like any good dad would. And I would run around the house and say, "When I grow up, I'm going to kill all of the people who are unbelievers. I'm going to kill all the wicked people." This is not to say that he did anything wrong in how he raised me. It's just my interpretation of it was incorrect. Thankfully, I have not killed anyone, and I'm not in jail. So I'm here, but let's go on. Let's look at the priests. The Levites, the tribe of Levi, was ordained by killing those who would not obey God. We see that later on throughout the Old Testament happening quite a bit. But let's look at the qualifications of a priest. First is he had to be a male, right? This was an office directed and set apart specifically for the men. They had to be descendant of Aaron with a documented lineage. They had to come directly from the tribe of Levi, had to come from Aaron. They had to be between 30 and 50 years old. They had to be unblemished physically. They could not be lame or crippled or blind or deaf. They had to have a proper marriage. They could not be married to a divorced woman they had to have a proper marriage. They had to have no uncleanliness. Even in their physical appearance, they weren't allowed to trim their beards. They had a certain way of dressing and a certain way of keeping their hair and their beards. Their duties included teaching the people. They had to expound the law of God to the people and explain it to them. They were judges. People would come to them to settle disputes. They offered sacrifices. They blessed the people. They kept the tabernacle. They made sure the altar and the temple and the tabernacle were always clean and organized, and all of the utensils were made and were clean. Then you had the office of the high priest, who was the leader of the priests. He was to inquire of the Lord for the people. He was to consecrate the other priests. He was to, his main, or one of his main functions was the Day of Atonement, right? The sacrifice that he was to offer once a year, only he could enter into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice. This office was something that was revered and treated with extremely high respect and reverence. And a careless action would mean death. We know the story of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, who offered the wrong fire and were immediately obliterated by the Lord. Shilin has a song called "The High Priest." I would highly commend it to you. He talks about what it means that he basically sings about from the perspective of the priest on the Day of Atonement. How he wakes up and how he prepares the sacrifice and how he's trembling with fear to enter into the Holy of Holies. I asked Andre to rap it this morning. He wouldn't do it. But we also, Pastor Joe read the story of King Uzziah, who wanted to walk into the temple to offer sacrifice. And we know what God did to him. God struck him with leprosy. He wanted to be like the priests who were set apart and ended up being set apart, but for a different reason. Because he was covered in leprosy and he had to live apart from the people of God. So something happens between Uzziah, who is struck down with leprosy for walking into the temple and trying to offer a sacrifice. Something happens between Nadab and Abihu, who are destroyed, to Peter coming and saying to the church, you are now priests, and you must enter in to offer a spiritual sacrifice. You guys all know the Sunday school answer to that question, right? What happens? Jesus happens. If you were with us when we went through Hebrews in Sunday school, we spent a lot of time talking about Christ fulfilling the office of the high priest. Christ fulfills the qualifications perfectly. Turn in Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to read verses 22 through 28. Hebrews chapter 7. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifice daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect. Christ is the only pure high priest who can only really fulfill all of the qualifications of the high priest. He offers a sacrifice that is truly pure and without blemish. As the priests would lay their hands on the animal and symbolize the transfer of guilt from themselves to the animal that they are about to offer on the altar, Christ takes upon himself the sins of his people, the sins of his elect, and walks into the presence of God and offers himself. There is a small problem, though. We talked about the qualifications having to come from Aaron, right? Christ comes from Judah. The king comes from Judah. He's not a descendant of Levi. So, again, if you were there with us in Hebrews, we know the answer to that. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that Christ comes after the order of Melchizedek, who is the king priest, the eternal high priest. The Hebrews teaches us that Melchizedek was the greater and the higher in the art between him and Abraham, because Abraham offers him offering. He offers him a tithe. And so Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, who is greater than Isaac, who is greater than Jacob, who is greater than Levi. Therefore, Melchizedek is greater than the Levites. Therefore, Christ is greater than the Levites. There's something else that Jesus does as a priest. This is exciting. He fulfills Exodus 19. By his work on the cross, he makes the church a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. John is writing to the churches, and in his greeting, listen to what he says. Verses 4 through 6. He says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us, listen, and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And later in chapter 5, Ben shared that this was one of his favorite chapters of the Bible, and rightly so. Listen to what it says in chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. when no one is found to open the scroll, but the Lamb stands forth, and he is worthy. And listen to what the saints are singing. He says, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and your blood, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." By Christ's death and resurrection, he makes for himself. He finally fulfills Exodus 19, where the church is now the kingdom of priests, a nation of priests. Jesus is the great high priest, the one that none of the descendants of Levi could fulfill. He comes and dies and offers the perfect sacrifice and then makes for God a nation of priests, which are the church. So now we come to the final point. The Gentile sinner becomes a priest. This is amazing. Think about it. Peter is writing to mostly Gentiles. How crazy is this? The uncircumcised filth that was not allowed to enter into the temple now is called to approach the Holy of Holies and offer a spiritual sacrifice. When once Uzziah was struck leprous for trying to offer a sacrifice, when once Nadab and Abihu were scorched for not following the proper procedure, now Gentiles are called to enter in and offer a spiritual sacrifice. Not only are they called to enter in and offer, listen to how they're called to enter in. Hebrews chapter 4. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." Not only are they called to approach the throne and offer sacrifice, they're called to do so with confidence, with boldness, not afraid, but because of what Christ has done, you can enter and offer your sacrifice and be assured of its acceptance because of Christ. Verse 10 talks about, let's go to verse 10 real quick. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is language from Hosea, the redemption language from Hosea, that those who were once rejected, those who have failed, have now become God's people. Christ fulfills what was promised about Israel. Christ makes for God a nation of priests. So we as Christians are called to be holy and royal priests. We too are ordained by blood. It's not the blood of our relatives, but the blood of Christ. We do not stand filthy, covered in blood, but we stand pure and white because Christ's blood washes us of our sins and ordains us into that priesthood. And so we are told to offer spiritual sacrifice. We also need to fight against the Levites, or fight as the Levites did against sin. My childhood vow to kill all wickedness, little did I know that I would be fulfilling that on a daily basis as I fought against the wicked, the most wicked of all, which is myself. As I'm killing the wickedness that is within me, I'm the vilest of sinners. That is our fight. As the Levites strove to destroy sin from the camp, we strive to destroy sin in our own lives. Most of you knew I was going to go here next, right? Romans chapter 12. You were waiting on it, weren't you? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." We are to offer all of ourselves to Christ as a sacrifice. Every part of your life, your work, your entertainment, your singleness, your marriage, your friendships, your retirement, your wealth, your health, your property, your house, he wants it all. You offer it all to him as a living sacrifice. That includes the worship service this morning. We come to worship because we are called to worship as priests, but this is not where it ends. We begin our days or our weeks worshiping on Sundays so that Monday through Saturday we can continue our worship. You can continue our worship at work and at home, and when we're entertaining and when we're doing other things, we continue our worship. What part of your life are you still trying to hold on to and not give to God completely? What part of yourself are you trying to hold back for yourself instead of surrendering it to Christ as we are called to do? Consider the life of the priest, how it revolved around the service of the tabernacle and of the temple, and how we are to worship in everything that we do. And there's reason to rejoice. Go back to 1 Peter. Listen to why we can rejoice. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It is a pleasing aroma, as to use Old Testament language, to God. The sacrifice is not rejected, and the high priest is not struck down dead if the offering was rejected. Instead, our offering is accepted because it is through Christ. What is the purpose of us being priests? Let's go down to verse 9 again. But you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The purpose of being a priest is first, yes, to offer spiritual sacrifices so that we can proclaim the excellencies of those to those around us. We are priests so that we can tell everyone how great God is. So we can tell those around us how majestic and wonderful God is, how what he has done for us, how he has brought us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. You are called to be a holy royal priesthood so that you may be an example of Christ to a lost and dying world. So go out and be priests. So in conclusion, let's consider something. God intended to make a kingdom of priests for himself. Israel failed in this. Christ came to fulfill that office and to make a kingdom of priests for God. So the answer to what does God expect from you? What does God want from me? He wants everything. He wants it all. And so to the Christian, I ask, give him all and rejoice because it's accepted by God through Christ. Your sins are dealt with, so don't hold anything back. Give him your all. To those who pretend to be Christians, to those who act like Christians but truly are not, and you know you are not, stop the charade. Come to the Lord and beg for his blood to cover your sin and to ordain you for a lifetime of priesthood, for a lifetime of being a priest. To the one here who does not know Christ and who rejects him, fear for you, and you must shake with fear as well, because your sin and your wickedness will too be dealt with. You too will stand in the Holy of Holies before God's holy throne, but there will not be Christ in between you and God. There will be wrath, and it will obliterate you and destroy you. Only in Christ is there salvation and the chance to join us as a kingdom of priests. Heavenly Father, I thank you for 1 Peter. I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins and to make for yourself a kingdom of priests. Father, I pray that we would consider the application of this, that we are called to be, to give, to surrender all of ourselves as an offering to you. And we understand that it is frail, but through Christ, it is acceptable. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to consider the aspects of our lives, to consider the parts of our life that we are still trying to hold on to, that we would submit to you and give all of ourselves to you. We pray that we would encourage each other to do that throughout the week. We ask and we thank you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.